Happy Sabbath, everyone.
It's
good to see everyone here. Just making sure we're all together, and I'm all together. Just want to extend greetings from the Spokane Tri-Cities, and I get the third city mixed up, Chilliwa, I think it is, congregations. We had the opportunity, the privilege to be up there for the Sabbath, Passover, and the First Holy Day. Their pastor, Paul Moody, is also pastor of West Africa congregations. So since we have a place up there, he asked if we could come up there during that time so he could be in Africa serving the brethren there. And it's one thing amazing about wherever we go, God's Spirit is there. And you just go there and you feel it, and it's an amazing opportunity to serve people up there. I want to thank the special music, Sharon and Liz. One of the other things you come to appreciate when you go visiting, how talented we are as far as special music and the wide variety of music and talent we have in our congregation. So thank you very much. I do want to say for those here, we see a number of people here and people are traveling for Mother's Day. So to all our mothers and grandmothers, may it be a blessed weekend for you. If your mother has passed or grandmother has passed, it's a good weekend to reflect upon the blessings that they have given us during this time, and share it with family, share it with siblings, share it with our own children. It's a time to reflect on what a blessing we have had and how God has created us to have family. And I hope your weekend is very blessed. And for those who came today, thank you for braving the traffic. This morning, we went to visit Kathy Grady. Thought leaving the house at 8:30 in the morning to go to Van Nuys would be 1, 2, 3, easy. It took a long time to get there and back. So thank you all for braving the traffic to come here today. So I don't know about you, but to me it seems more and more we are living in uncertain times. Whether it's the geopolitical world, social upheaval in this country, or maybe even in our own lives, there seems to be an increasing amount of uncertainty and instability. And with that, there are those who tell us that this uncertainty in the world around us should be considered the new normal. I would like to read from Living in Uncertain Times, Coping with a New Normal by Centerstone. They're a health system. We are living in an uncertain time where stress is common and can be perceived as uncontrollable. It is nearly impossible to go through one day without hearing alarming information on the news about national security concerns, terrorism, or disaster. We're reminded often that it's no longer a calm and innocent world. I also like to read another article, Living with Permanent Uncertainty, from International Communications Consultant website. More and more people are talking about living in uncertain times. It is now called the new normal. The anxiety over our predicament of uncertainty appears to be a new discovery. Our long-held assumptions about the future are being quickly rearranged. Collectively, our cultures are shifting so fast that we expect to live in an era of uncertainty. Along with popular acknowledgement that uncertainty is now permanent, comes the recognition that chaos is part of the new world order. Writing about his work to help the U.S. military embrace a future of uncertainty, Ori Brafman, author of The Chaos Imperative, How Chance and Disruption Increase Innovation, Effectiveness, and Success, explains, the military, one of the most structured organizations that has ever existed on Earth, has realized that in order to be adaptive, it needs to embrace elements of chaos. We live in a world of many changes, and along that, there appears to be less and less certainties. I remember the days when My father worked for the same company for many years, but now people rotate between jobs at an ever-increasing pace, it seemed, when I was in that role of a chief operating officer. And as for moral values, the norm is no longer the case to be. What used to be is no longer the case today. People live according to their feelings, their perceptions of what is right and wrong, and not according to an objective standard of truth. And it sounds a lot like what Isaiah was noting with Judah in Isaiah 5, verse 20. And I'll put this on the screen. Isaiah 5, verse 20, we're familiar with this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The contemporary English version presents it this way. You are headed for trouble. You say wrong is right, darkness is light, bitter is sweet. Added to this, all this uncertainty in the world, we may have uncertainty or instability in our own lives. We might be facing uncertainties in our employment. Or maybe our physician just recently told us he or she wants us to do a few more tests due to something unusual in a recent test. Maybe it's concern for members of our family and the pressures they're facing and the uncertainty in their lives. You know, sometimes life can be good. Life is going well. Things seem to be falling in place. We feel optimism. It's great to experience the day. We're smiling. We're energetic. Yet at times, our life can be unstable. Things seem to be going in the wrong direction. We dread getting out of bed. We find ourselves being negative and pessimistic, not only about the present, but about the future. It just isn't fun living during those times. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. And I'll put this on the screen as well. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will come after him. The NIV states it a little clearer. When times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. Christ noted that life is uncertain. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 34. Matthew 6, verse 34. Life is uncertain. Matthew 6, verse 34. Once again, I'll put this one on the screen. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day, it's its own trouble. The New Living Translation renders it as follows. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Uncertainty is all around us, never more so than today. Whether it concerns the economy, social unrest, wars, or those uncertainties in our own lives, finances, health, relationships, it seems that much that lies ahead remains uncertain. Yet we as human beings crave security, crave certainty. We want to feel safe. We want to have a sense of control over our lives and over our well-being. And living with uncertainty can leave us feeling stressed, anxious, seemingly powerless over the direction of our life. It can drain us emotionally, where we find ourselves trapped in an endless spiral of what if this happens? What if this happens? focusing on worst-case scenarios, no matter how remote they are, we focus on those. Let's face it, we are most comfortable. We are most happy when things are certain. Certainty in our jobs, certainty in our relationships, certainty in our finances. It's a good feeling. It's nice to wake up and face those days. Life is good. We sleep well. We are on top of the world, aren't we? But at times, that's not the reality. Life throws us curves, things we can't even imagine happening to us. And I don't know if it happens to you, but they seem to come in waves. It's like you get hit once, and then you get hit again and again, and you're just off balance. We feel unprepared, incredibly frustrated, concerned, anxious, discouraged. We find ourselves weeping in private because we just can't seem to break the bad news that comes our way. We read scriptures like Philippians 4, verse 6, and it says not to be anxious about anything, but we can't help it. We do feel anxious. We feel concerned about life, or we feel concerned about the life of a loved one, and it takes a toll on us. For the message today, I would like to discuss an aspect of living life in this uncertain, sometimes chaotic world. It's a matter of not letting life happen to us, but it assumes that we individually take some control, some level of control in our lives, that we have the opportunity, each and every one of us, to live life intentionally. So for today's message, it is living intentionally in an uncertain world. So what does it mean to live life intentionally? Weber State University, in a piece entitled How Being Intentional Can Help You to Your Road to Success, defines living intentionally as follows. Being intentional means making deliberate choices to reflect what is important to us. Becoming intentional can help us maintain a positive mindset, reach goals, experience more clarity, and be more present. It also can increase our focus and commitment and bring more purpose and meaning to our lives. At its core, intentional living means having a purpose that we're working towards. It's not letting life passively happen to us. We take responsibility for our lives. We have a vision and we set clear goals that guide our action. And we do our best, our very best, to make our thoughts and choices in alignment with that vision and goal. Turn to Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 16. It states, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The New Living Translation states it as follows. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. It's not a matter of just living life and living life passively. It's about redeeming the time, as it states in the New King James Version. The word translated redeem, exorgorazo, means to buy out of the marketplace. It pictures a merchant who is actively in the marketplace, trying to buy up those best bargains that are available. The word translated time is kairos, which refers to a fixed and definite period of time when something can be accomplished that cannot be accomplished once that time has passed. It speaks of opportunities and events that come our way. In other words, we all have the responsibility to make the most of the time we have been blessed with, to be diligent about our life, to be responsible for our thoughts and actions. And this is what living life intentionally embraces. With that as background, I'd like to discuss five actions we can take to help us live life intentionally. The first one is, don't believe everything we think. Don't believe everything we think. In line with this, I'd like to read from you an article entitled Don't Believe Everything You Think from Psychology Today by Leslie Baker Phelps, PhD, dated July 8th, 2019. Thoughts drive through our mind all the time. Like traffic, they might flow smoothly, but they sometimes also back up, causing a traffic jam. And when they collide, the impact can truly throw us psychologically, making you feel anxious, depressed, or generally distressed. However, just because they are driving through your mind, it does not mean they represent an objective reality. They are often more of a figment of your imagination than an observation. So for a life that flows smoothly, it's essential that you do not believe everything you think. Dr. Baker Phelps later discussed the idea of felt truths. Felt truths. That is, just because we feel that something is true doesn't necessarily make it true. How many times have we had our minds race and cause us to worry, to be discouraged about a matter, or to be excited about something that just might happen, only to find out in time that our feelings caused us to waste time, to waste energy. We felt it was true. This bad news, this thing we were thinking was true. But at the end of the day, it wasn't. Jeremiah 17:9, and we're familiar with this scripture, Jeremiah 17:9, if you would turn there. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? One rendition of this scripture that I found in the preparation of this message was, our own hearts are deceitful so much that we easily fool ourselves. I'll repeat that. Our hearts are deceitful so much so that we easily fool ourselves. What do we allow in our minds? What do we think about during the day? What do we worry or get anxious about? Is it based on reality? Or our own perception of what's occurring? What we feel is occurring. Proverbs 4:23. It states in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The contemporary English version states it as, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. The source of true life. We are to guard our thoughts, to guard our minds. We should not be embracing or believing everything that comes into it. We can and we should decide what we are to think and what we are to believe. And the discussion of don't believe everything we think leads to a second action that in order to live life intentionally. Avoid negativity. Jesus Christ sets the tone for this in Matthew 6:27. And I'd like to read from the contemporary English version. It's very simple. Can worry make you live longer? Can worry make you live longer? Hannah Packiam, MD, from the Northeast Georgia Physicians Group website has a posting entitled, Food for Thought, How Negative Thinking Impacts Our Life and Health. And in the posting, Dr. Packiam goes into discussing ANT, automatic negative thoughts. The idea that negative thoughts pop into our minds. These thoughts can gradually take over our lives when we let them multiply, when we let them grow, and then they get out of control. Examples of ANT thinking are follows, and see how many of these apply to our respective thinking. All or nothing ANTs, thinking in extremes, that things are either good, all good, or all bad. Less than ANTs, comparing yourself and your situation to others and seeing yourself as less than. Just the bad ANTs, seeing only a bad in the situation. Guilt-beating ANTs, thinking in words like should, must, ought, or have to. Labeling ANTs, attaching a negative label to yourself or to someone else. Fortune-telling ANTs, predicting the worst possible outcome for a situation with little or no evidence for it. Mind-reading ANTs, believing you know what other people are thinking even though they haven't told you. If only I'll be happy when ANTs, arguing with the past and longing for the future. Blaming ANTs, blaming others for your problems. What ANTs or ANT do we deal with? Fighting negativity in our lives is not just a one-off situation. It's a lifelong process. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5. Let's turn there. It states, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, not some thoughts, not the majority of our thoughts, but bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. We have the ability to control our minds, and as such, we need to be sure that what we are thinking, what we allow in our minds, aligns with our journey and walk in the way. We're reminded not to control some of our thoughts, an occasional thought, but every thought that comes into our minds. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8, and I'd like to read from the New Living Translations, Philippians 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We should be focusing on having true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and thoughts worthy of praise in our minds. What this is not saying is that we don't have emotions, that we don't experience anger or pain or sadness as part of our human existence. It's not being Pollyanna-ish, but it's saying that some thoughts can be counterproductive, even destructive, like the ants we reviewed. And we should recognize it and control it. It may be that sometimes these negative thoughts can control us so much that we cannot seem to get focused. And as such, we lose perspective and our thinking becomes irrational. And it really may be at those times when it would be wise to seek professional help, whether through a physician or someone that works with mental health issues to help us through those difficult times. Sometimes we may need help, and as much as we go to a doctor to fix a broken bone, sometimes we should go to a physician to seek help when it's mental health related matters. We shouldn't be ashamed of it, nor should we be stigmatized by that. We should not allow shame or guilt to stop us from receiving the help that we may need. A third action we can take to help us live life intentionally is, don't believe everything we see or hear. One quote I found from an unknown source was, don't believe everything you hear and only half of what you see. There is effectively a competition for our mind, for our thoughts, and we see it all around us. In the media, social media, there is a competition. People want our minds. How often have we found ourselves believing something, maybe hearing it from others via the media or maybe via social media, and we get ourselves all worked up and upset, maybe discouraged and anxious, possibly even angry, only to find out it's not true. We relied on our feelings, we relied on our emotions, and to ascertain that something was true, felt truth, only to discover that we wasted our emotions on something that is not true. Faster capital, how media can manipulate our thoughts, which is an incubator and accelerator, has listed four areas where our thinking in a section can be, as it's entitled here, how media can manipulate our thoughts. And the discussion begins as follows. The media plays a significant role in shaping our thoughts and beliefs. From news articles to advertisements, the media can prime our minds with certain ideas and concepts. However, there is a dark side to priming, where the media can manipulate our thoughts and influence our decision-making processes. So, and then they go on to four influences. The first influence they note, the power of framing. And I'd like to read from the article. The media has the power to frame issues in a particular way which can influence how we perceive them. For example, if a news article frames a political issue in a negative light, it can prime readers to view the issue negatively. This can lead to a biased view of the issue, which can affect decision-making processes. Another influence they noted are emotional appeals. They state, the media often uses emotional appeals to manipulate our thoughts and feelings. Advertisements, for example, use emotional appeals to sell products. They often use fear, humor, nostalgia to create an emotional connection with the audience. This can influence our decision-making processes as we're more likely to buy a product if we feel an emotional connection to it. The third influence they note is confirmation bias. Once again, I'd like to read from their article. The media can also reinforce our existing belief and biases through confirmation bias. We are more likely to believe information that confirms our existing beliefs, and the media can use this to their advantage. For example, if a news outlet consistently reports on a particular political issue in a way that confirms our existing beliefs, we're more likely to believe their reporting. And then the fourth area they point out, influence, the media is stereotyping. The media can also perpetuate stereotypes or images and messages they portray. For example, if a TV show consistently portrays a particular group of people in a negative light, it can reinforce negative stereotypes. This can lead to discrimination and prejudice against the group. We live in a society where individuals, groups, organizations, corporations, governments try to influence and, dare I say, manipulate our thinking. And rumors and conspiracy theories abound. And sometimes we may be caught into the cycle of believing what we see or what we hear in the media or elsewhere. We as members of God's family, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, are to be above believing everything we see or hear. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. And I'll put this one on the screen here. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world. The Message puts it this way. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Now, though the scripture of 1 John 4 talks about testing false prophets, really the principle applies to all forms of messages, all forms of information that we receive. We should not just believe everything we see and hear. We should test, fact check, research. And what we hear is truth, or is it a manipulation? A fourth step we can take to help us live life intentionally is to learn to accept uncertainty. No matter how much we strive to make our lives to have certainty, to avoid risk, the truth is we deal with a lot of uncertainty every day. Each time we cross a street or get behind a wheel of a car, or maybe eat takeout or eat at a restaurant, we're accepting some level of risk, some level of uncertainty. We are trusting that the traffic will stop. We are trusting that we won't have an accident. We're trusting that everything we eat is safe. Nonetheless, we can get anxious, worried, and troubled about life's uncertainties. Life is uncertain. There are good times and there are bad times. And we as members of God's family are not immune to the challenges of life. When we look at Ecclesiastes 3, 2 to 8 on this chart here, life is all about these issues here. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes point these out. And you have a life event where it's contrasted. We have weep contrasted by laugh. Or we have plant contrasted by pluck. Born contrasted by die. Many of these life events, these items, are joyful. There are those that are painful. It's the nature of the human existence that we find ourselves living. All are part of the human existence. And we are not immune to the challenges facing all mankind. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. It states, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. God has never promised an absence of problems in our lives. He never promised that if we believed in him or lived righteously, that we would be completely trouble-free for the rest of our lives. But what he did promise was that he would be with us as we walk through each and every problem. He established the church, the koinonia, that have others of his spirit that would be a source of strength and encouragement in challenging times. We do not have to face our problems, our hard times, our issues, our uncertain times alone. We have God, and we do have each other to face life's challenges. We are not alone. Let's go through some scriptures as a reminder. There's no need to turn there. I'm going to put them on the screen. But I think putting them on the screen one after another will remind us that God is there. And we are here for each other. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all, not some, not a few, not one, but casting all your care upon him, because why? He cares for you. Romans 8:38-39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing will separate us. Nothing. In this uncertain world, the uncertainty abounds around us. There's nothing that will separate us from God and Jesus Christ, the Father and Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 24, we're familiar with this. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see the day of the Lord is coming nearer. At times, life can be hard. Can be challenging. Can be uncertain. We need to accept that this physical life at times can be uncertain, while doing our part to mitigate uncertainty as much as possible. Simple ideas such as saving for retirement, taking care of our health, obtaining an education, planning for the future, etc. All along, knowing that we have God and we have each other as support along the way. In our physical life, there will be uncertainties, but we are not alone facing those uncertainties. That is certain. A fifth step in helping us, we can take to help us live life intentionally, is invest in ourselves. Sometimes we can find ourselves so busy, so rushed, that we become weary, tired, exhausted. And during those times, we can find ourselves that our life and our outlook on life becomes distorted. Our problems and our worries become so magnified. We don't sleep well. Our energy becomes depleted. We snap at people, or we turn into ourselves and tune out the world. It's also important that we invest in ourselves. What does that mean? For example, look at healthy ways to rejuvenate ourselves, not through some quick fix, such as turning to social media or the media, junk food or alcohol. These quick fixes can feel good because they stimulate dopamine. And dopamine is a type of neurotransmitter. Our body makes it, and our nervous system uses it to send messages between nerve cells. That's why it's sometimes called the chemical messenger. Now, dopamine plays a role of how we feel pleasure. It's part of our unique human ability to think and plan. It helps us strive and focus and find things interesting. But dopamine rushes encourage us to seek immediate rewards. So instead of turning to social media, junk food, alcohol, which can provide a dopamine burst, go on a walk. Spend time to reflect on what we are thankful for. Get rest. Find solitude. Reflect on life and how blessed we are for God's calling. Self-care is not selfishness. There are times we do need to take a break from the fast-paced world we lived in to shut down the noise, to rejuvenate, to recharge, to reset. We have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. And even Jesus Christ took time off when things became hectic. I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't have time, even have time to eat. 1 Kings 19, if you would turn there. And this discusses the time when Elijah was running away from Jezebel after God had destroyed the false priests. And I like to read from verse 1. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And it states in verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also if I don't take your life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time.'" And verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." Verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's.'" Verse 5, "Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again." In verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Yes, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." It was after this time of resting and eating did God speak to Elijah. We see in what we read, Elijah needed to rejuvenate himself first. God did not condemn him for doing this. In fact, needs were provided by God. The idea of investing ourselves relates to taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually. It's recalibrating our thinking. It's hitting Control-Alt-Delete in our mind and rebooting our mind. It's to be consistent with our calling, consistent with being a light. Investing in ourselves does not only mean taking time out to reflect, but it is also time for meditation, for study, for prayer, for fasting, a reconnecting to God. In times of uncertainty, in times when things are pressing upon us, we need to reconnect with the certainty of our relationship with God. James 4, verse 8, if we would turn there. James 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8. It states in James 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." We have to do our part. We have to draw near to God. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." As we invest in ourselves, we should be reminded of the following scriptures. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 17. And I'll read from the English Standard Version. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 17. And it states, "Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells with you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." If God meant to simply convey the idea that the Spirit lives in the believer, he could have used such terms as home, house, residence. But here God uses the term temple to describe where a spirit dwells. It conveys that the physical bodies we have is a special place, effectively a sacred place, where God's Spirit, given to us, dwells. With that in mind, our actions and our words. What do we let into the temple through our eyes and ears becomes critically important. We are to take care of, invest in this temple we have been given, not to let it run into disrepair, not to be a place of chaos and uncertainty. Today we briefly discussed five actions we can take to live intentionally in an uncertain world. Don't believe everything we think. We evaluate our thinking. We guard our thoughts. Avoid negativity. Remember the ants. Don't believe everything we see or hear. There is a competition for our mind. Learn to accept uncertainty. Life at times can be uncertain, but we have God and each other to help us through uncertain times. And invest in ourselves. At times we need to rejuvenate, to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit that we have been given. Life is full of uncertainty, yet we as members of God's family, God's people, are to live intentionally. People who exercise self-control, people who are of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, where it states, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." For the term sound mind, other translations use the word self-control, self-discipline, sound judgment. It's being intentional on how we think and how we act on those thoughts. And we know that sound-mindedness is something Satan will attack. And we need to be cognizant of that as we face a world of uncertainty, a world that's lost its way. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, and I'd like to read from the New International Version. "Be alert and of sober mind." Once again, sound mind, sober mind. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." We have an enemy out there that seeks to destroy us. In our battle with Satan, we need to do our part. One way to do this is to live life intentionally. But at times, in spite of our actions, doing our part in this living life intentionally, we may find ourselves in a state of anxiousness and uncertainty. Paul informs us of what we are to do. And I'd like to close with reading that scripture. Philippians 4, verse 6. This is our action plan. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," we must thank God for the many blessings of our life when we go before Him when we are anxious. "Present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard in your minds and your minds in Christ Jesus." Have a great Mother's Day weekend and safe travels home.